Pastor Moses, God has sent him back to his family. Amen. Which his wife is thrilled about. And his children love having him home. And being as we were together last night, and I found myself in a situation where I knew I would not be in able to speak with the way I would like to this morning, I asked him if he would step in and bring the word of God to us today. And of course, my brother is like instant in season and out of season. So I asked Brother Moses to please come and bring the word of God to us, and please welcome him as he comes.
Thank you very much, Pastor Pat. You need the mic? Do I need the mic on? So I can, I have to hold it. Oh, the recording. He doesn't project as well as Pastor Pat's. Jesus did not have a microphone. Anyway, thank you very much, Pastor Pat, for the opportunity for me to speak to the body of Christ. I'm glad to see everybody. Hey, brother, everyone, family, and Captain, and everybody back there. As Pastor Daphne just said, yesterday we had an interesting function at home, where Daniel and Esther decided to tie the knot. They did it right at home, right in our living room. Pastor Pat was there and family to perform the function. And we had the two families, the Friends of Family and the Dumbo family, come together, and that was about it. And we had the presence of God and the goodness of the Lord, and the two of them are happy this morning. But as you can imagine, they woke up just in time to send greetings, and for obvious reasons. But we spent some time reflecting on yesterday. You're not recording this, I. And we spent some time reflecting on how yesterday went, and they asked me what I meant. I think at some stage I said, "This is the lady who broke my heart." They were saying, "How did mommy break your heart?" And I said, "Oh, she really broke it." They said, "No, when you said mommy broke my heart, it's negative." I said, "Oh, what should I have said?" They said, "You should have said she stole your heart." I said, "It is worse to be a thief." You would rather break it than steal, but... Anyway, so, but we had a good time, and greetings from everybody. We have here Anna from Richmond, who is having church with us this afternoon. And so I was reflecting and thinking, what do I talk about today? And the Spirit brought this message into my heart to share. What do you have? What do you have? Yesterday, my wife was praying. No, she wasn't praying. She was speaking at the end of the function. She gave two speeches. So somebody was asking her. She said, "Oh, when are you? What mommy said in her speech?" And somebody said, "Which speech?" So. What my wife said in her second speech, she said, "Sometimes you look at yourself and you think you have nothing. You have nothing to offer. Your voice doesn't boom like Pastor Pat's voice. You don't sing like he does. You don't seem to have anything. And you can look at yourself and say, me, I'm just me. All I have is me." And so I wrote down The title is What Do You Have? And the subtitle is No Excuses. And the text I'm focusing on is the book of Exodus. And I'm going to start from chapter 3. I'll look at a few verses in chapter 3 of Exodus, verses 7 to 9. Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. For some reason, I now can't read my little Bible things unless I borrow additional eyes. So I'm going to borrow additional eyes here. In verse 7, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, and you can continue with the sites, Tamites, and everything that has T-E-S at the end. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I'm sending you, let me extend this a little bit. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am, has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Let me pause here for a little bit. I'll come back to the reading of the word because I take delight in the reading of the word. But let me set the context of this message. The context is that the children of Israel were suffering. I'm glad that there's nobody here who has any suffering of sorts. There's nobody here who has pain. There's nobody here who has trouble. And I was listening to a preacher one day, and he said, that's why the word problem doesn't exist in the Bible. So nobody here has a problem. So I'm talking about the Israelites. They are the ones who had suffering. And I'm glad that people here don't cry to God. There's no need for crying. But I'm talking about the people who were crying to God. So the context, suffering and crying. Do those things happen to anybody here? I know that in my culture, I come from a culture where I grew up, where they say men don't cry. And to the men I say, I have found a good way to cry. You go to the shower. And as you cry, the water helps take everything down. They can only wonder why you are taking long in the shower, and you tell them the water is so good, it's warm. When you come out and your tears have dried up, now you can come out. But men cry. And they should cry. And crying is healing. And crying is medicine. The other day, And I enjoy it when we wake up in the morning and I'm still being lazy in bed on my back. And my wife, my sweetheart, is reading the word, the scriptures. And she loves it when she's reading to me. She preaches every morning, by the way, and she's a very good preacher. The only challenge is that she has only one member in her audience. And she read, and she reads from Psalms 146. And the Bible says, if God provides for the crow, the raven, when they call. Oh, and I said, so when these animals are crying, they're actually calling upon the Lord. So the Israelites are crying. I started to write an article which I have not finished because I got too busy with many things. But I write things and I stop them halfway. But one day I'm going to complete all of them. And that's one of the reasons the Lord will keep me alive longer, because I tell him, Lord, I need to keep this, complete these writings. And I said, God is emotional. When we cry, He's not a faceless, selfless God who sits there and says, why cry? He's concerned. He hears. He feels our pain. And so he says to Moses, their cry has come to me. Our cry goes to the Lord and speaks on our behalf. And the Bible says, when they cry to the Lord, for them they were crying for God to do something about the Egyptians. They wanted God to change the hearts of the Egyptians so that they become softer, so that they become less dangerous, so they become more supportive. But sometimes have you prayed to God and the answer came and it's not the one you liked? And you are saying, Lord, change my boss. And the Lord says, no, I want you out of that job. No, Lord, just change this boss. So change him. Make him like me. And the Lord says, get out of that place. And you are saying, no, Lord, no, but you see, this is a good place. They have good benefits. The other people like me. It's only the boss. And the Lord says, yes, I am actually going to harden his heart more. Who hardened the Pharaoh's heart? God said to Moses, I'm sending you, but I'll also harden Pharaoh's heart. Ah, God. But Lord, the mortgage is tough. And the Lord is saying, move out of that house. No, Lord, the neighborhood is good, but the mortgage company will not even allow me an extra month. And God is saying, yes, I want you out. Is there something in your life that makes you feel like that? God instead sends a prophet. God instead sends a man to come to them with a totally different message. The message is not, Pharaoh, stop oppressing these people. The message is, Pharaoh, these people must go. Let my people go. Where are they going? And God is amazing. I'll come to that. Let me go back to Moses a little bit before I go to what God does with Pharaoh. Moses himself says, your God? I think I recognize your God. But where are you sending me? And he says, back where you don't want to go. I'm sending you back to guilt. The guilt of killing a man. And you running away from there. I'm sending you back to that shame. But Lord, you're sending me back to where I don't want to go. That's the place I left. And if Pharaoh sees me, he will kill me. They don't like me there. And the Lord says, yes, I want you to go and be a witness that I can change people. I want you to go and be the evidence that I can deliver and set free. I want you to go and be the evidence in that bad situation. The guilt of killing the man, the risk of arrest and death. So Moses does what all over what we all do. Try to negotiate your way out with God. But God, and Moses begins, he says, if I talk about myself, God might get angry. So let's forget about me. So let's talk about you, God. Who are you? What do I tell them? And in verse 11, God comes with a very interesting answer. Verse 11, we read, he said, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people out. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out? And God said, I will be with you. Who am I? It's not about you. I will be with you. God is with you. My brother, my sister, God is with you. And if God is with you, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter your accent. It doesn't matter your last name and your background. God is with you. I will be with you. That is what matters. Lord, but me going back there, I'll be with you. But Lord, I don't have money. I'll be with you. But Lord, I'm not as educated. I will be with you. But Lord, I'm not as tall. I will be with you. Amen. But Lord, praise the name of the living God. I will be with you. That is the answer. So if God is going to be with you, it doesn't matter. No excuse. I will be with you. Stop despising yourself. Many of us despise ourselves. And we've missed so many opportunities and blessings because we despised ourselves. You look at yourself and you look at your background and you look at your family. And I have been through all this. I can tell you stories. I put my family on the plane and I told them we are going to the United States of America. I don't know where I'm going. They gave me a salary. I don't know what that salary can do in America. I don't know. Can it even sustain 9 people? I don't know. But if God has said we are going, we are going. And He'll look after us and He'll care and He'll provide. He'll grow us. He'll increase us. And many of you here, we are a blessing to us. You've been blessings to us. I could go through the list. Each one of you has blessed us. Even if you haven't given us material stuff, you've been a blessing just by saying, how are you? Let me tell you, when you are a person in a strange land, all you need is somebody to show you that they recognize you. Even a how are you matters. We had just come, and we had come out of the winter and the snow, and you know, Africans love meat. They do. Oh, is that so? I can only speak about, actually I said it wrongly. Let me say I love meat, because let me not hide behind Africans. I love them. I am telling myself, every day I say to myself, I'm going to be vegetarian. But I'll start tomorrow. So today, then the following day I can start, you know. So. But as they say, tomorrow never comes. So we loved meat, and then the summer is coming, and then we are going to begin roasting meat. Then I'm beginning to figure out how we are going to buy a, what do you call that thing in which you roast meat? A grill? No, I don't even know its name. And Sister Felicia Mingo shows up with a grill. And I say, Lord, you also know that I love meat. And I love it roasted. And she says, I just came to check on you people. You are new members in our church. We love you. And here is a grill. You can make some meat. And I say, thank you, Jesus. Many of you have been a blessing to us in many ways. I mean, Pastor Pat, I can't talk about. We drove to Farmville. Farmville, you don't even know where it is, most of you here. You just hear about it. Deep somewhere in the country. I say to myself, what are we even doing here? And we were there with Pastor Pat, attending Mercy's graduation. And there's no graduation we have gone to and Pastor Pat didn't drive, whether it was night, whether it was day. And I think that day, the following morning, you were flying out. I mean, I can talk about each one of you. Of course, Pastor Daphne. And she's just there in her humble way to just say, how are you doing? It warms the heart. And I was testifying about Sister Loretta yesterday. When we had just come here, I had been with my family here for 2 weeks. And my job wanted me to go for 1 month, actually 6 weeks. And I said, I'm going to leave these people here. I don't know. My wife was one of those who didn't believe they needed to drive for as long as they had a driving husband. She was well taken care of. She didn't worry. But now I say to her, my friend, this is America. Oh. And I'm praying and I'm saying, Lord, give me a solution. I don't have enough money to hire a driver. Because hiring a driver in America is like... The Spirit of the Lord tells me, go and talk to the pastor. And I come. And I'm struggling how I'll talk to the pastor. I've known him for a very short time. And I'm there trying to say, hey, pastor, you know I have this issue. And there's a lady who's standing there. And we've just said hello. We've just greeted each other. And she's just shown us a bit of love. And I said, pastor, you know, I'm going to leave my family here, but they don't drive. They don't even the visa they have doesn't allow them to drive. And I'm going to leave them here. They don't even know where the shops are in case anything runs out. And there's a wonderful lady standing there and she says, I will drive them. Just like that. That was my sister Loretta. And she steps into a situation. And little did I know that God was only causing her children to meet my children. So that yesterday can happen. Do not despise what you have. Do not despise yourself. Do not despise what the Lord has put in your hand. Moses had to overcome 3 major obstacles. And those are the 3 major obstacles that oftentimes we must overcome. If we are to do the works of the Lord. If we are to walk in the will of the Lord. The first obstacle is doubt. Doubt, doubt, doubt. Is it God speaking? Is it the devil speaking? Is it me thinking? Is it wishful thinking? And let me tell you, the way God speaks to me is not the way he speaks to you. No. To some, he speaks very clearly in dreams. I have dreams where the Lord has spoken to me. And things have come exactly the way the Lord showed it to me. Usually, it's the timing that I have no control over. One of them was Josh. And he's going. The Lord showed him to me the way it happened. But little did I know it was going to be sooner than I thought. Sometimes he speaks to you when you are just reflecting and thinking. Sometimes he'll speak to you in the word when you're reading and studying the Bible. Sometimes he will use a donkey. Your enemy will reprimand you. Your vehicle will break down. And you don't know why your car is deciding to break down on this particular day. When you've made all the plans and everything is sorted out. But the Lord is speaking to you. Sometimes he will just make you uncomfortable. And then you realize the Lord is speaking to me. But you must overcome doubt. You must overcome doubt. And sometimes the Lord just sends you somebody to speak into your heart. And they say something and it sticks. When I attended the funeral or the celebration of Tyler, Pastor Bill made a statement in his speech. And it stuck with me and it wouldn't go away. And that statement was, Father knows best. And that statement would not go away. And I reflected on it and I thought about it. And it played back in my mind. And when Josh happened, Father knows best. Because I kept saying, the Bible says, you know, all things work out together for good with those who love the Lord. And I said, Lord, what good can come out of this? Father knows best. Overcoming doubt. Number two is lack of self-esteem. It's very easy for us to assume that we are courageous and bold. But each one of us has a level of timidity. And a level of lack of self-esteem. And depending on your background, some of us who grew up in backgrounds that are humbler than humble, you just feel like you can't even stick your head out. And if people kept telling you, you can't do this, the other day we were listening to Bishop T.D. Jakes with my wife. He was blessing us with a message and we listened to this man of God teaching. Bishop T.D. Jakes was recounting his testimony, how he began sharing the word, and he talked about how he went about with shoes with holes, and he wouldn't even kneel to pray, because when he knelt to pray, people laughed at him because his shoes had holes. And these are backgrounds that many of us cannot even think about. But they bring us things we must overcome. What is that you need to overcome in you or in your past or in your background to be able to do the works of the Lord? Now, it could be self-esteem. It could be pride. Me? To go and live in that neighborhood? Or me? Me? To go and do that job? No, me. Pastor Pat has always talked about how he cleans carpet. Me? But sometimes you have to overcome that to be used of the Lord. Peter said, me? To go to the Gentiles? Lord, have you forgotten, Jesus, that I was the closest person to you? Walking with you. I even cut off a man's ear. And the Lord brings sleep. And while he sleeps, whatever he was seeing, a vision, the Lord brings him a tray with frogs, crocodiles, snails, mollusks and everything, name it. Grasshoppers, locusts. And he says, get up and eat. He didn't even cook them. They were uncooked, raw. He says, get up and eat. Peter says, me? How can I touch this? So he sleeps again, it comes. The second time. Gets up, sleeps again, it comes a third time. When he wakes up and he's saying, Lord, what is the meaning of all this? A Gentile knocks at the door. And says, the Lord showed me that I must come for you to to come and preach the gospel to us. Have we missed opportunity to do the work of God because we had lack of self-esteem or we had pride working in us? Or we just had no confidence? Racism. Everybody blames the other person for being racist. One time we were having a conversation with some people back in Uganda. Now, black people believe the whites are racist. I'm sure racist whites believe the black people are racist. And so we are having this conversation and it's going on, racism in New Africa, in America, they are killing black people. And I said, but all of you are racist. He said, no. I said, let a boxing match start. And it is a white man and a black man. And you don't even know them. You don't know the black man, you don't know the white man. Let them start boxing. And then I'll watch how your support immediately flows. Are there things that you need to overcome? Prejudices, racial prejudices. When we come to the Lord, we break through that. Pastor Pat, I'll not finish this word. You know me. What interests me is God's response to Moses. Let me walk through that a little bit. The book of Isaiah, chapter 46, verses 8 to 10. Isaiah 46, 8 to 10. Isaiah is somewhere after Genesis. I did not say it's next to Genesis. The Lord says, remember this, fix it in your mind, take it to heart. I don't like the next two words. He says, you rebels. He says, remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times. What is still to come, I say. My purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. God knows the end from the beginning. By the time it begins, God has mapped out how it will end. Everything else that happens in between is only a fulfillment of getting you to the end. Now listen to this. Even the mistakes you made, God allowed them because they are all bringing you to that place. The Bible says the children of Israel went the long way and God took them the long way. Now, most people only think about one thing, because they rebelled. They disobeyed God, they rebelled, so God took them the long way. But there is another part of scripture where the Lord says, because they were not ready for battle. So because they were not ready for battle, he took them where they would not fight. Because otherwise, if he had taken them straight, they would have had to fight many battles. So sometimes we are not prepared, so we go through things and we think, Lord, why are you taking me this way? Why are you taking me through all this? Oh my God, why all this pain? Lord, what did I do to you? Some words are better said in Luganda. I wish I could say them in Luganda, but only my wife will understand them. Mukama na ukolachi, what will I do? What did I do to you, Lord? Why are you doing this to me? Why me? Lord, why me? Look at me. The other day we were listening to Pastor Tony Evans. Dr. Tony Evans, great preacher of the Word of God. And he stood up to talk, and by the time he finished, my wife and I were all in tears. He has taught the word, the man of God, testified of the goodness of the Lord. In 17 months, he has lost 6 family members. Began with a nephew, went to a niece, went to his brother, went to his sister, then his father. After his father dies, 1 month later, his own wife. After his wife, his daughter has cancer. And he said, Lord, where are you when all this is happening? And then he answers with the word of the Lord and says, Lord, I'm right there. But these things happen. And maybe your world is breaking apart or things are happening to you and you're saying, Lord, what is all this? He knows the end from the beginning. So, when Moses asks the Lord, how will I know, how do I know that you are the one who sent me? I think Moses expected the Lord to say, maybe to make the ground shake a little bit. Maybe to make the trees jump around. You know, these days there is so much magic in the church in Africa and they call it God. People do all sorts of funny things. Magic, real magic, literally. And they claim it's a miracle from the Lord. I'm not saying everything that happens is magic. But I see a lot of this and I'm just like, that's not God. No. That's not God. So Moses, I think, expected God to do something spectacular. I'm sure many of us here have been in situations where you stood before your boss and they are reprimanding you and you could have said, Lord, if you could only make them their eyes close. Or somehow when the policeman is about to give you the ticket, Lord, if you somehow their hand could just get stuck with that ticket. And I don't have to. But somehow he gives it to you and you say thank you and he says happy. He say, they have this way of saying happy Valentine's. And you're like, really? So God tells Moses, look at verse 12. The answer, chapter 3, we are back in Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. The Lord says to Moses, this is the sign. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out, you will worship me on this mountain. It is the end. In other words, I will prove to you when it has happened. Not before it happens. God doesn't need to prove himself. But he says, when you stand on this mountain and worship me, then you will remember and say, it was really God. Because Moses was saying, can Pharaoh, that Pharaoh I know, the guy is so difficult, so tough, so complicated, can he really let those people go? And God says, you will prove it when you are standing on this mountain, after it has happened. There are many things you will not understand now. You will not understand them when they have happened. There are many things you don't appreciate now. You will appreciate them when they have happened. There are many things you cannot even thank God for now, but you will thank God when they have happened. And what does God want? Worship. You will worship me. Worship. Brethren, worshiping God is not optional. And let me tell you, whether things are going well, whether things are not going well, worship. When you feel like it, when you don't feel like it, worship. When you like it, when you don't like it, when it is, and when it's not, worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, in Uganda, you say hallelujah, and the whole church roars back, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey. Then I know they are following me. Note that after God does it, he wants worship. One of the best books I have ever read, and I'm sure many of you read it, it's a book of many, many times ago. It was written by a Mormon, for all purposes and intent. He was a Mormon, Latter-day Saints, but he's wrote a very great book. He died of a very flimsy accident. He was riding his bicycle, fell down and died. I mean, things that you don't understand. Steve Covey. He wrote a book, Seven Habits of the Most Highly Effective People. A great book for everybody to read. Even though it is so many years old, if you find it, it is still a great book. The lessons in there are great. One of the habits, begin with the end in mind. Fine, I'm getting into this. Where do I want it to end? How do I want this to end? Am I prepared for the way it will end? What if it doesn't turn out the way I want? Can I handle? Can I deal with? When your spouse is unwell and cannot do what you wanted, what you've been used to, can you still love them? Can you still serve them? Which is why the other day Pastor Pat was preaching and talked about Brother Eric Mingo. He said, "You're a great man. You're a great man. God bless you, brother. Can I be there for you? Can I depend on you?" You know those friends, all of you have ever been 14 and 15 and 12 and 13 and 16. And all the people you promised and said, "You're my best friend. We will die together. Nothing will ever separate us." And you drew those little pictures and you don't even remember their name anymore. You don't even know where they are. They are. I meet some of them and they are calling me by name and I'm saying, "By the way, who are you?" And they say, "Really? You've forgotten me. We were together." They say, "Oh, you are the one. Okay. I remember you." Begin with the end in mind. What matters is not how you see yourself or what you see in yourself, but what and how God sees you. This morning I was writing a WhatsApp message to encourage one sister in Uganda who wrote to me to say, "Pastor, I'm going through a very difficult time. She has lost her job, she has no money, she has lost this, and she's saying life is feeling worthless." And I said, "Sister, you are not a human doing. You are a human being. It is not what you do or don't do. It is who you are. You are a child of God. Take heart in that. I'm a child of God. God loves me. God cares for me. God is God, whatever the circumstance." But the good thing, aren't you all happy that we serve the God of a second chance? We serve the God of a second chance. Turn with me to the book of Job chapter 8. Job chapter 8 verses 6 to 7. Where is the book of Job again? I know it is somewhere in the Bible. Job chapter 8. Some people think this is the oldest book of the Bible. They think it should have come before Genesis. But chapter 8, verse 6 to 7 says, "If you are pure and upright even now, He will rouse Himself on your behalf and restore you to your rightful place. Your beginnings will seem humble. So prosperous will your future be. Ask the former generations and find out what their fathers learned. For we were born only yesterday and know nothing, and our days on earth are but a shadow. Your beginning may seem humble, but the Lord will rise up on your behalf. Maybe you've been through some very difficult times. The Lord is rising up on your behalf. Maybe the circumstances around you, the situation around you, maybe you look at yourself and say, I'm so old, what can I begin in my old age? I am here to declare in the name of Jesus Christ that you are not too old until you are dead. Hallelujah. God is the God of a second chance. That was the time Pastor Pat preached from the book of Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 17. There is hope in your future. Each one of us, the last thing you should lose is hope in your future. Even when things are not going well, there is hope in your future. It is not the end. There is hope in your future. Moses says to the Lord, but verse 11, Lord, who am I? You don't know? Chapter 3, verse 11. Moses says, who am I? You don't know who you are? But the answer God gives is, not who you are, but who is with you. I will be with you. Moses goes on to the next one, verse 13. Okay, now Lord, who are you? And the answer the Lord gives is, I am. So listen, there are no atheists. Is it that word? Is it atheists or atheists? Atheists. There are no atheists in the world. Because everybody has ever said, I am. If somebody says they are atheists, you ask them, so what is your name? And they will begin by saying, I am Moses. And you just tell them, but you have just called the name of God. I am. And you say you will never call the name of the Lord. You've just said it because that is his name. I. So they know atheists. Don't be deceived. Because everybody calls the name of the Lord. Verse 15. When you pray, I'm not trying to create a new religion. Since it is in the Bible, I'm going to tell it to you. Verse 15, it says, this is my name. I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac. And I'm the God of Jacob. This is my name forever. This is the name you will call me. So it's not just, yeah, he's my father. But I'll call him God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. Why did he tell Moses? Let's read verse 15 together. He says, God said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent you. This is my name forever. Not only that, it is the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. So when we say God, the God of Abraham, God of, it's not just a title addressing him. No, that's the name by which he is to be remembered. Ah, so try, call the name of the Lord and call God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. And the Lord will do it for you. And that name is so important to God that he says he's jealous for it. Exodus 34:14, he's jealous for his name. He says he's a jealous God, 34:14, and he's to be remembered by that name and he's jealous for it. He says, do not worship any other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. So his name is jealous.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Oh, Lord God, jealous.
Yes. Yes.
His name is jealous, and he's jealous for his name. So let's not equate him to any other God by being politically correct. After God appears to you, your life cannot remain the same. Look at verse 16. God says to Moses, go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of the misery of Egypt. And the rest you can read the story. And verse 18 says, the elders of Israel will listen to you. This is the same Moses who is fearing and panicking. But the Lord says, when you go, go with me, go in this name, life will never be the same. When God appears to you, your life will never be the same. My prayer is that in every situation and circumstance that we find ourselves, God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob will appear to us. And our situation will change. And our own selves will change. We can never remain the same when the Lord God of glory appears to us. People, things, circumstances begin to obey you when the Lord God of glory appears to you. But also, verse 19, something else happens. Let me read and then I tell you. But I know unless a mighty hand compels him. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. In other words, when you know God and God knows you and you, God appears to you and you're beginning to enjoy and you're beginning to feel like, yes, I'm a mighty man of God, I'm doing the works of God. Opposition will also grow. The opposing power will also increase. So sometimes when you see negatives pushing hard at you, it is not because you don't have the Lord. It is because you have the Lord. Because we serve a jealous God and a very interesting God, a complicated God. Now when I say complicated, all of you are saying, no, he is not. I have scripture. I'm still digging up the scripture. I remember I read it. Moses was saying to the children, Moses or Joshua was saying to the children of Israel, I know this God is too delicate for you. You will offend him. So one day I will show you the scripture. We serve a complicated God. You can't understand him. One person tried to understand him. They called him Jonah. God told him, go. And he said, no, I know you. After I have preached, you will forgive them. So I'm going to go and hide. And he knew he has the money, he has a ship, he has a boat. God said, okay. The wind is came. He's the one who told the people, get me and throw me in the sea. They got him, they threw him in the sea, the boat stabilized. He gets in the sea, there is a whale, whatever fish waiting for him to swallow him. It carries him directly into Nineveh. He wakes up, he's in Nineveh, and he says, Lord, ah. He goes and preaches, and actually God does what he feared. He forgives. He says, did I die, though? I knew. Yeah, I'll tell them, and then you forgive. So, but we serve a complicated God. But here, he is the God when opposition, when he sends you, opposition increases. So he's bragging to the devil. Have you considered my servant Job? And Job is there. Hallelujah. Lord, I love you. Speaking in tongues. Shandarabakas. Makashatarabaka. Giving offering sacrifices. And the Lord is saying to the devil, and the Lord is negotiating with the devil. Hey. And Job wakes up one morning. His children are dead. But Lord, I have been so righteous. Lord, I've given my first offering, my tithes, I give my first fruit. I am faithful. Lord, I give. Lord, I pray. Lord, I fast. The cattle pray. Lord. God, do something. The boils on the body. Lord, I don't understand what is happening. Lord says, yes, you don't. But I do. Praise the name of the living God. Let me finish because I know many of you are now feeling like Monday already. But tomorrow is a public holiday, right? Tomorrow is a holiday. Hallelujah. Oh, welcome to Uganda now. Now we're on Uganda time. And now on Uganda time. Because this is just the introduction of the message. I haven't got the real message. So we are now on Uganda time. I love God. Because verse 20. Let's read and then I say what I want to say. I know that Pharaoh will not let you go, so I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. God will fight for you. We serve a God who will not leave you alone. He will fight for you. It doesn't matter what you go through. It doesn't matter your circumstances. He will fight for you. He will rise up on your behalf. I will fight the Egyptians. Not you will fight the Egyptians. He did not say to Moses, you will fight the Egyptians and I will be there for to supporting you. No, he said, I will fight for you. The Lord is doing it for you. The Lord will stand up for you. The Lord will enter those circumstances with you. Even when you seem to be alone, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, even when they were walking in the fire, the Bible says even Shadrach and Abednego, who were righteous, did not see God. They didn't. But Belteshazzar, one of those kings, saw a fourth man in the fire. And he looked like the Son of Man, the Son of God. He is there with you. He'll be there with you. In those tragic situations, in those tragic circumstances, when there is poverty, when there is suffering, when there are things you don't understand, God will be there with you. Amen. Some years ago, we went through pain. As a family, we bought a home during that time when there was that bubble. So we bought a home. And I thought, yes, we've bought a home. Now we are beginning to live our American dream. And then we couldn't afford to pay the mortgage. And the mortgage company is telling us they want to repossess the house. And I'm saying, Lord, Lord. And we prayed and fasted. We prayed and fasted, the mortgage company wrote to us to say, you either pay off or leave the house. One day I woke up at around 4 a.m. I went downstairs to pray and cry to the Lord. I said, Lord, do something about this. And the Lord clearly spoke to my heart and he said, let this house go. I went to my wife and I said, God has said, we let this house go. He said, are you sure? Where shall we go? I said, let's let it go. God will look after us. So I called the bank. And I said, short sell. The home. The bank was so happy because finally I had got them off the hook. They said, short sell? I said, yes, short sell. The following day, I called the realtor. The next day, we had an offer. In less than 5 days, we had sold the home. Now we have no home. We have no home. Short sale, bad credit history. Nobody will give you a home. Nobody. I said to my wife, God will give us a home. We serve a living God. Now you're all waiting for the end of the story. Maybe I should stop there. Then you can visit me at home and I give you the rest of the story. Because Christians don't want to visit each other. Those days they would visit one another and they break bread in the homes. For us, everybody is tied up in their home. You don't visit each other. But that is going to change. Let me give you the whole story because it gives God the glory. So, the following morning, I said to my wife, let's go and look for a house where we shall go. And so we go to all the cheapest houses around us that we know of. There's a place there, we have a name for it, we call it the community or whatever. It's there. I think it is, they call it 8, chapter 8, what they call it? Section 8. So I think we shall go to section 8. We go there and the Spirit of the Lord says, no. No. And we go around and we go around, and then I go on the internet and I see these are new houses and they are very expensive. Even the rent, I say, ah. Now why are we even looking at this if we could not afford the other one? Now we are looking at this. And then Emmanuel is also doing his research. And he also comes up with a house. And he comes up with a house he has seen. And I've seen the same house. But they are all more expensive than the one we are living in. The one we've just sold. And I said to my wife, let's go there. Let's call them. Pick the phone. Hello? We are interested in this house. Yeah, we can meet there and show you. Yeah, okay. We meet there. Walk around. Beautiful house. Nobody has slept in it. The guy tells us, yeah, it has been here for one whole year, but we cannot yet find a renter. And say, okay. The Lord was keeping it for us. So we're the ones who took so long. You know, we should have come earlier. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I say, yeah, but now, yeah, can we talk about the terms and everything? And the guy says, yeah. When are you ready to move in? I say, even tomorrow. Because we have no home. We've sold our home. And I say, but the only challenge is our credit history is not as good. He says, I'm not even going to look at that. I'm not interested in your credit history. Just sign here if you want to move into the house. And I said, what? He said, yeah. This house has been on the market so long, we just want a person in the house. I say, but shall we afford? And brethren, every month we paid ahead. The God we serve will fight for you. If you are worried, the God we serve, I'm not just trying to excite you. I can tell you testimony after testimony. When humanly speaking, we are down flat, there are so many testimonies. When I want to strengthen and encourage myself in the Lord, my wife and I, we sit and tell each other those testimonies. Because after living together for nearly 40 years, we have tons of them. And when it looks darkest, the Lord was moving us to another degree of glory. When it looked most difficult, the Lord had another plan for us. I'll tell you more as we go along. Let me finish with this. God goes ahead of you. He prepares the resources for you before he sends you. Look at verse 21 and 22. God goes ahead of you. He prepares resources. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed towards these people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters, and so will plunder the Egyptians. God has it figured out already. When Isaac was going with Abraham to go and do the sacrifice, Isaac didn't know that he was the sacrifice. Sometimes you don't know you are the sacrifice. But what you are forgetting is that the sacrifice was a representation of Jesus Christ. So you are the representation of Jesus Christ. You may think you are being sacrificed by the Lord, but you are the representation of Jesus Christ. That is why you are going through that. A sacrifice is placed on the fire. The fire is not friendly. It burns. Lord, why am I going through this? You are the sacrifice. You are the representation of Jesus Christ. No, but Lord, you promised us good things and just flowing life and comfort and He promised to wipe away your tears. In other words, there must be tears. If there are no tears, what will he wipe? There must be tears for him to wipe. So when the Bible says he will wipe away tears, so cry them, so he can wipe them. If you don't want to cry them, others will be enjoying the Lord wiping your tears, and you will be there with dry eyes. But he has said he will prepare resources for you. Let me cover this book, because if I don't, I will continue. But he will prepare resources for you. I've just given you a testimony. When the Lord spoke, when finally I said, I'm letting this go, I thought this is the end. The Lord had a better plan. The Lord had a better plan. Have you lost something and you thought that's the end of it? The Lord has a better plan. Maybe a job opportunity. Maybe a contract. Before coming to the United States of America, I competed for a job to become the country director of a very big organization in my country. And I was the candidate of choice. But somebody on the panel didn't like me. So they played games. The Lord sent me a young man who had been praying for me. He didn't even know that I was trying to get another job. And he comes to me and he says, I've been praying for you and I seem to have a message for you from the Lord. And I say, what is the message? And he says, the Lord says the job you've been praying for, he's not going to give it to you. But he has another bigger job for you, which will be international. And I looked at him. And I went home and I told my prayer partner. Even though we disagree and have our own intense fellowship, she's my great arm of strength. Oh, I depend on her a lot for prayer and support. And I told her, and she said, okay, if the Lord has spoken, let us trust him. And Emmanuel was only 3 years old. Three or going to make four. And he was sick and unwell. And I'm sitting home and I'm holding him in my arms. And he asks me, Daddy, when are we leaving this country? And I said, to go where? And he says, to another country. I say, like which one? And he says, America? And I said to my friend, Mommy, did you hear that? And on the day of interview for the job that brought me to the U.S., Josh goes to Mommy and says, Mommy, I feel like praying and fasting for Daddy today. Do you know if he has anything that is special that we need to pray about? We had agreed that this was between us as adults. You know, some of these things you don't tell the children until they have matured, because they go and tell their friends at school, and if it falls through, you are like, oh. So Mommy says, I had to tell him, say, yeah, Dad is going to do a job interview. God goes ahead of you. God goes ahead of us. If it is happening, God has already taken care of it. Let's come, we are going to pray together. I know people say that no prayer and everything, but come to the front. Come, we are going to pray together. We are going to pray into each other's lives. I don't know why I'm doing this. I didn't plan it, Pastor Pat. But when the Lord leads, you do what the Lord leads. We are going to pray for one another. We are going to pray. We are going to pray. I want us to get into groups of three. Three people. Three people. Yeah, get into groups of three. Get three people. Get three people. And if there is an extra one, join a group and make four. There's no magic around the number of four, of three. But now I want you to hold hands with each other. Yes, like these people are doing, the Spirit of the Lord led you ahead of me. And pray. Let me tell you. You can take four. You can take four. You can be two. No. Don't join family. Justin, don't join family. Don't join family. Join another family out there. Let us pray. Don't pray for yourself. Which is why I had not wanted family. But then, the pastor is the pastor. So he'll, because I know his prayer goes all over the place. So, pray. Don't pray for yourself. But you're going to pray for those people. But don't start praying yet. Because blind prayer is shooting in the air. Take time. You don't have to give them the details. But tell them that thing from this message which has provoked you, over which you want them to pray for you. And pray fervently. The Bible says the prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. So take a minute and talk to those people and say, what is it you want me to pray for you? Talk in that group. Talk to each other. Talk to each other. Talk to each other. What is going on in your life? What is happening? Talk to each other. Let's take the time to pray for each other now. Just pray for the other two people. Pray. 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 Pray, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, even as we come to you in prayer. At the end of this session, Lord God, of prayer. We are coming to you with prayer. We are coming to you in prayer. We are coming to you through prayer. Father, the God of Abraham. Father, the God of Isaac. Father, the God of Jacob. You have said to us that this is the name by which you are to be remembered. You have said to us that this is your name. And you have said you are a jealous God and you are jealous for your name. We cannot ask for anything in your name and you will not do it for us, O Lord God of glory. We know that you who promised, you are faithful and just, and you will bring it to completion. Even as we stand in prayer as the body of Christ, praying for healing in our bodies, praying for deliverance in our places of work, praying for deliverance in our finances, O God, praying for a breakthrough, my God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you who began the good work in our lives, O God of glory, you will bring it to completion in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for a new beginning. We pray for a second opportunity. We pray for a second opportunity, my God. For you are the God of second opportunities and second chances, oh God. You are the God who does not fail. You are the God who does not fail. You are the God who does not slumber. You are the God who does not sleep. You are the God who has promised us to answer our cries. Lord, hear our cry. Hear our cry. Our cry for our families. Our cry for our children. Our cry for our brothers and sisters, oh God, those that do not know you, those that have not yet embraced you as their Lord and Savior, those that are going astray, those that are struggling in their businesses and in their finances, those that are struggling in their jobs. Father, King of Glory, may you intervene, may you hear our cry, may you answer, may you come to our deliverance, oh Lord God of Glory. We call upon your name, we cry to you, we call upon your name, O Lord God of Glory. Arise on our behalf, Lord. You've promised to go ahead of us. You've promised to bring healing and deliverance. You've promised to bring salvation, oh my God. You've promised to give us the resources we need. You said you'll speak and touch the Egyptians on our behalf. We now release whatever belongs to us, whatever needs to come our way, whatever has been ordained for us. We release business contracts. We release business opportunities. We release business calls. We release employment, oh God. We release job salary increases, oh God. We release promotions, oh Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that there will be breakthroughs in our lives, oh God, that there will be breakthroughs in everything that we undertake. There will be breakthroughs in everything that we do. Bring healing and deliverance in those bodies, oh God. Touch our sicknesses, oh God. Repair what needs to be repaired. You are the one who repaired Abraham, and what was considered dead came to life. May you repair what needs to be repaired, Lord God of Glory. Father, we call to you. We call upon your name. We cry to you. We plead with you, Jehovah God of Glory. Come and intervene in our situations, oh God. Come and change our situations around, oh God. Come and turn every situation around, oh God. You are the one who turned around the situation of the children of Israel. They were being treated as slaves. They were living in shame. They were living in pain. They were living in embarrassment. But you heard their cry and you came to their rescue. Father, come to our rescue. Father, come to our rescue. Come and turn situations around, King of Glory. Come to our rescue, Lord God of Glory. Come and turn situations around, oh God. Come and break the yoke. Come and break the yoke. You already broke the curse, oh God. You took it on our behalf. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are the living God of Glory. We shall always honor you. We shall always give you glory. Thank you, Holy Spirit of the living God. Thank you, King of Kings. Thank you, Father God of Abraham. Thank you, God of Isaac. Thank you, God of Jacob. And now, Lord, I pray for your people as they go home, as they go to undertake their businesses and work and whatever else you have commissioned in their path. May you look upon them with favor. May you look upon them with grace. May you go before them, O God, and open doors that need to be opened. Clear paths that need to be cleared, O Lord God of Glory. May you release your favor and your goodness and your love. May you release your blessing to overtake each one of us, O God. May the angels of the Lord go ahead of us, O God, to clear what needs to be cleared and to bring what needs to be brought. May the angels of God go and minister to us, O Lord God of Glory. Father, let your name be glorified in us. Let your will be done, O God. Let your power reign. 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 Let your spirit take charge. Let your spirit take control. Yes, God. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Holy One of Israel. King of Glory. King of Glory. King of Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May God bless you. May God increase you. May God strengthen you. Let His face shine upon you.